I think this is our 44th or 45th study in this book that we happen to be going through verse by verse. And I don't know about you, but it's been a blessing to me. You find things in verses that if you were thinking about a subject, you wouldn't think of preaching on that passage. But it's just amazing. And I'll tell you, it's helped me. Try to up the intensity in my walk with the Lord. Maybe I'll show you something next week on that. Very interesting. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for Charlie, Lord, all the work. And Lord, I know he does it because he loves you, Lord. And just like Tom and the rest of these ones just behind the scenes doing all the work so that we can give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. And I just thank you for that this morning. Pray you bless your people. Bless the visitors here today. And Lord, anyone here maybe doesn't know Christ as personal Savior, maybe knows religion and that, but Lord, personal Savior, the saving faith in Jesus Christ, knowing 100% sure sins are forgiven, heaven is your home. I pray that today would be the day that you would reveal to them by your Spirit the simplicity which is in Jesus Christ. And Lord, bless your word, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul here, we're in Colossians chapter 4, and I want you to put yourself, we talked about this a little bit last week, in his shoes. If you will, he's in Roman quarantine. You think quarantine is bad now? He's under house arrest for speaking publicly about the Lord Jesus Christ. His condition, for you that aren't students of the Bible says he is weak in bodily presence. It's not like Moses in the Ten Commandments that you watch on the cartoons. All right, this guy, if he walked in here, you'd say, who's this guy? Doesn't look like much. Weak in bodily presence. He would say to one of his followers, he'd say, oh, by the way, I'm in prison here. Can you bring me my coat? The man didn't have a coat to warm himself. He was with a doctor, not real healthy. He would say that he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He'd been beaten with rods for the Lord Jesus. He'd been suffered whippings for the Lord Jesus. He would say that he fasted often, and he would say, I'm ready to be offered. He's getting ready to basically be martyred. This is the condition he is in. And let me tell you, if you got access to the computer where you could communicate with the pastor what your prayer request is, or you come into prayer meeting, you had an opportunity to raise your hand and say, listen, would you pray for me? What would your prayer request be in that condition? Verse 3. With all praying also for us, in the condition he's in, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds. I'm in jail. I'm under house arrest. Would you please pray that the circumstance would change so I could do what I was doing for the reason that I'm in here? Now, I always have to qualify when I talk about praying for non-physical prayer requests. If my back goes out, or my reflux acts up, or if I get the COVID, or I'm in an accident, or I'm diagnosed with an illness, please put me at the top of the prayer list. I don't handle pain good. I'm a wimp. Praying for the betterment of physical ailments is not contrary to the Bible. Understand that. Now, John said, I wish above all that you be in health, that you be in health. But that wasn't Paul's request. In Paul's darkest hour, he prayed for an open door and an open mouth. An open door and an open mouth. Have you ever heard that in your life prayed for in a prayer meeting? From a missionary, you will. From a prayer letter from a missionary, you will. But I'm afraid rarely. You won't see it from Paul, though. 98% of our prayers, and like I said, put me at the top, are to get out of trouble. I'm sick. I'm in foreclosure. We're going socialist. We might even be so spiritual as to pray for a wayward child, but not Paul, not the early church. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. This is the history of the early church after Jesus Christ moved out. We might have covered some of these passages last week, but we got to sit in the tub of God and soak a little bit. Amen. Acts chapter 4, as is always the case, God's people are being persecuted. They didn't try to come up with ways to blend in with the world so they wouldn't be persecuted. Just like Jesus, they were condemned for doing right and doing it publicly. If you stay in the church, they're okay with you. Isn't that what they tell us when we get out there? Keep it in the church! 4:17. These are the church, state, people coming together. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Man, they don't like that name, Jesus. You can end your prayer in God. But when you say in Jesus' name, oh, you can't be so specific like that. Unless it was Muhammad's name, then that didn't go over too big. All right. 17. But that is spread no further. 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak. So they pull them out of jail, not to speak or at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And I love this passage. He didn't grit his teeth. He wasn't mad. He just humbly, just like the Lord Jesus Christ, said this. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We saw Jesus heal this. We saw God heal a man. We got saved. We were there on the day of Pentecost with these miracles. And you're going to tell us to stop? Can I fast forward the tape 2,000 years? I was lost in my sin. I didn't know where I was going when I died. I didn't know the purpose for living. And I tried this and accomplished it. That wasn't it. And I tried this and accomplished it. And that wasn't it. And now I tried this and accomplished it. And that wasn't it. And you're going to tell me? Don't tell me about that Jesus. Well, listen, pal. You judge. Something that happened to me, my soul was healed, and you want me not to say something? I ought to obey God rather than men. That's what he says in the next verse. Okay? So, and when they had further threatened them, 21, they let them go, finding nothing, this is important, how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. I mean, something good is happening. And they want to get rid of him. A man got healed, and they want to get rid of him. For the most part, we're not the people that are in court. We're not the people shooting our wives and abusing our kids. And for the most part, we're not tearing society up. Oh, you're the enemy. You're the haters. We're going to talk about that in a minute, too. For the man, which was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Now, I want you to go to, let's just keep reading. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Now, they're into prayer meeting now. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. Here's their prayer at the prayer meeting. Which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, whom by the mouth of David, they were praying the Psalms. If you ever have a hard time praying, pray the Psalms. Servant David said, why do the heathen rage? Nothing new. Why are you shocked that the heathen rage? By the way, they were religious heathen. These were the chief priests, and these are the people that God is love, and God just loves you the way you are, and God doesn't care about sin. That's not the God of the Bible. The kings of the earth stood up, 26, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for of a truth against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, There's the religious side. Pontius Pilate, there's the Gentile side. With the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, here's the prayer. Behold their threatenings. In light of all that, we're going to beat you. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child. And when they had prayed, there was a whole lot of shaking going on. I think it's called revival. When the building is shaking, and we know God's using a lot of signs, we got to be careful. The Jews seek a sign. That's why he shook the place. An evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, so be careful about that. We talked about watching. You know what watching entails? Pray. If you don't get nothing, if you go to sleep now, get this. Pray every day for open doors and an open mouth. That was the early church's prayer. That was Paul's prayer. I don't know what to pray for, Pastor. Pray every single day and help me, Lord, to practice what I'm preaching, to pray for open doors and an open mouth. But that's just the half of it. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 4, his prayer request continues, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. And there's probably some ways you could go on this passage, but you know what I'm getting? That my walk would match my talk, that I would manifest in my life what I am saying. I don't want to blow it. And when's the last time you heard that in a prayer meeting? You know what you youngins are going to find? As you go out and face this secular world, I mean, unless you are ashamed of Jesus, unless you're an undercover agent, and here's what you're going to find if you even utter a word. If they find out you were in church yesterday, they're going to watch you like a hawk. And if you're evangelistic and you're trying to reach people and obey Jesus Christ in the Great Commission, they're going to watch you under a microscope. And if they can just get you to slip up, it turns the light off. And I know I've given it before, but when you get old, you run out of testimonies. And our first year saved, we went out with the same people on New Year's Eve since high school. And we didn't go to church because it was pre-salvation. We get saved in May. It's kind of upheaving. I mean, us and our friends are close. We all married the girls that we went out with in high school. We were all on the football team and all that stuff together. And we stayed friends. And now it's New Year's Eve. What are we going to do after 15 years of going out with the same friends? And well, we'll just go, but we won't drink. And we'll just like be Christian. It was one of the longest nights of my life. Our friends had some other friends that we had never been with. Joe, outside of salvation, they're ordering $100 bottles of wine. I wouldn't go for that before I got saved. And there we sit. Come on, you can have something to drink? No. Why not? We don't drink no more. And then we go back to the house, and that's when the real party starts. And the stuff's getting passed around. What's the matter? And I'm telling you, man, I said, God, if you get me out of this tonight, I'm not going to be doing this next New Year's Eve. But I thought about that after the fact. I might even sat with Brother Jay and talked about it. And he said, here's what's going on in that party, man. It's dark. Some of you late sleepers, you like the dark, right? I mean, when I take my afternoon nap, if I can get to it, I put the blinders on. It does something to the brain. But there's something about being in that dark room and somebody comes in and turns that light on. You don't like it. And I'll tell you, this world, the whole world lies in darkness. And when we have a testimony, and not just words, but the walk matches the talk, it turns the light on. And if they can just get you to slip up, yep. I heard that curse word. Amen.
I remember my Uncle Pee-wee. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about an old Italian man drinking a glass of wine at his spaghetti dinner. It's not for me. And Uncle Pee-wee said, he was so close. In fact, I think he might be saved. And he said, "I want to ask you one question." "What?" "Why can't you have a beer?" I said, "Uncle Pee-wee, if you walked in the Edgerton Grill and I was sitting in that bar drinking a beer, what would you think? You're out of place." You answered your own question. I'll tell you what we need. Here's what Paul said. You know what? Pray, number one, for an open door. Pray for an open mouth, and that I might manifest it. He said to this to the church, "Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Listen, you may be the only Bible that anyone ever reads. And in this case, in our day and age, you probably will be. Listen, I eventually came to Christ through J. Folk's words. But long before he talked, it was the walk that drew me. And this is why I have a hard time with the Chuck E. Cheese church model. Just be like them. If he was just like me, then it would have drew me. I didn't want to be me. I didn't like me. I wasn't happy in me. I didn't have joy in me. I didn't have peace in me. In fact, his opening line was, "I used to be just like you." "I had the beer tap at my house. I started the party. I drove the GTO. He didn't have any Italian. I drove a Lincoln. And I'm thinking, this guy's talking, and I had no peace. I said, he's talking about me. He drew me in. You ever have those fish in the water and you can see them, but they just won't bite? Man. And I said, tell me about it. And then the words, the walk matched the talk. And this is gonna shock you. When we say, don't be like the world to win the world, you know what we conservative Baptists think. Oh, it's what we do and don't do for fun. Worldly Christians, they do stuff that the world does for fun and we don't. And, you know, be it appearance or entertainment. But have you ever considered this? Because you're going to know, because I just thought of it this week. There's other ways we can be worldly. You ever hear a bunch of complaining people in all your life? America is fatter and richer, and if you ain't rich, just hang on, the money's coming in the mail. And everybody of all political persuasions of all are just complaining. I got a shock for you. It's nothing new. The economy. I'll tell some more old man stories. When I bought my first house, the fixed mortgage interest rate, young people, was 17%. We locked in a variable at like 9 to 12. When it got to 12, we locked in. You know what everybody was doing? Complaining. Can you believe this? Jimmy Carter, he's the peanut man. Can you believe this? They're doing this. And I'd sit around there and they'd complain about Dick Bisgrove. He was the boss. What does Bisgrove know? He doesn't know anything. And then that Tony DiPanzio, that department head. And I'm like, man, I complain, but these guys are complainers on steroids. I didn't hear a complaint. He was different. Listen, have you ever thought of this? And you hear us conservative preachers say this, well, you can't be like the world to win the world because they'll think he's no different than me. Well, what if all you got, all your I's dotted and your T's crossed and all you do is whine and moan and complain about how bad you got it? I think they walk away and say, well, he don't have nothing. I'll tell you what the Apostle Paul did. He didn't complain. He said, I glory in infirmities. You can't go back there. They're going to hurt you. And I get to die for Jesus? He was a suicidal maniac or maybe a homicidal maniac. I don't know. Whew. Prayer request number one every day. Lord, give me an open door and an open mouth. Number two, Lord, that and let me throw this in. If you don't get out a lot, for my kids' sake, let my walk match my talk. For my girlfriend, can I say that? Cordy, I don't know, fiance, let my walk meet my talk. For my younger brother, let my walk meet my talk. For my wife's sake, Lord, I want to blow up. Let my walk meet my talk. There's a lot at stake. Let my lips, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, and I blow it again. Tell that at the prayer meeting. You see our man back there, Lonsky? Whew. He's defying the laws of medicine. I wonder if we prayed for what we're talking about here, don't stop praying for him as much as we're praying for him there, if we might not see something happen and the ground start shaking. Every day, open door, open mouth. Every day, my walk would match my talk. And if perchance God should answer those two prayers, you're going to need something, and you're going to need it real bad. And if you're living in 2021 in America, you're going to need it real, real, real bad. Verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Now, first, don't turn there. 1 Corinthians 5:12 explains what without means. You're either within or you're without. So you're saved or you're not saved. Jesus said, you can't be middle ground. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Okay, so there's people that Paul's talking about. Hey, listen, there's a lot going on. I'm asking you to pray. By the way, what we're dealing with here, you better pray for wisdom and how to deal with those outside A, of the body of Christ, or B, the church. The fact is, and we proved it, in the 70s and 80s, in this region, in the Northland, you could basically get a storefront, get a case of hymnals, and some folding chairs, and a pulpit, and know a little bit of Bible, and if you would work those doors and work those streets, you could start a church. We did it. Our home church, that gigantic place on, is it Manitow Road? It started in a garage in 1966. And by 1976, they had 700 people in the auditorium, 200 people coming in on the buses. See how many people you're going to get. You're going to send your kid on a bus with a stranger these days? You got to work the fields just to get a conversation. I ran into a guy, I think it was at Panera or something the other day, and he's sitting there, real nice kid. I said, man, a sunny day, you got the spot. Yeah, I grabbed one of those, just a church invite. I said, hey, man, let me give you this to invite you to church. Oh, no, no, no. I mean, he turned completely, oh, no, 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 no. I'm all set. I said, well, Lord, I prayed that prayer that I'm preaching on praying this morning. And you let me open the door. You opened the door, and I opened my mouth. I tried.
You know what we need in this dark hour more than ever more? Listen, the commission, the great commission, number one, is not just for the foreign field. It's for the neighbor next door. To bring the gospel to the lost does not change because things get dark. And I'll tell you what we need. We need wisdom. There's a war for the soul of America. The last I checked in the Bible, I'm not sure America has a soul, but I'll tell you, Americans have souls. And a never-dying soul, if the Bible's true, and I have no question that it is, either will live in one place or the other. I've said it 1,000 times, hell is for sinners. Heaven is for forgiven sinners. And you're one or the other, and that is our mission, to tell people it's not the church, it's not good works, it's not your baptism, it's not your upbringing. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's where salvation starts, and that's where it ends. I got in May 17, 1986. Are you in? Well, I quit drinking, you know. A guy yelled out the window yesterday, "Hey, Jesus saved!" Now, and I'm not questioning. He goes, "Jesus saved my soul. I've been clean for 32 years." And he you know, sometimes you got to be careful. Someone will go say, "Man, I haven't. When did you get saved?" "Oh, 20 years ago, He delivered me from alcohol." I didn't ask when He delivered you from. I said, "When did you get saved?" We need wisdom. Go to Acts 17. More than ever. Listen, the measure of wisdom that we needed in the 70s is not enough for today toward them that are without, because the without has changed. Acts 17, verse 24. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worship with men's hands, as though He needed anything." You don't need a statue. You don't need a cross. You just need Jesus. "He giveth..." Watch what he says. Verse 26. "And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." And some would go back to Genesis, where the earth was divided in the whatever God's design was in this race thing. But why? Look what it says there. "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us." Now, people are going to argue to kingdom come about race relations, mixed race, all this, immigration, inclusion, and for every topic that comes up, Pastor Grace used to say everybody has two opinions. They're like armpits, and they both stink. Here's one thing: if you're a Bible believer and you get out a little bit, or you attempt, there's one thing that you can't argue with. There are more spiritual hurdles in a melting pot than there are when everybody's all the same. So you know what we need in that case? And I'm going to explain in a minute. We need wisdom. Suppose that we're 1950, and where's Charlie's son? There he is back there. And I were to take the gospel down Jones Avenue, Lyle Avenue, Jones, Saratoga, Lorimer Street, Jefferson High School, and I meet a group of 10 young adults in 1950. Chances are 90% of them are going to be Italian Roman Catholic, just like I was, just like Joe was, just like some of you were. And here's what I go in knowing. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus. They believe in the resurrection. They believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. You know where I need the wisdom? I need the wisdom, Brother Paul, to convince them that there's only one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. You don't have to go to a man to have your sins forgiven.
You don't have to go to a woman that you perceive is in heaven bodily. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what I have to overcome. Not easy. But there's a whole lot of people in this room that were reached under that thing and at that time. You walk down that same street today with a Bible in 2021 and you meet a bunch of young people. You know what you're looking at? If you go down there, you'll see it. You're looking at a charismatic, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a transgender, a socialist, an atheist, an LGBTQ, an evolution, a Catholic from Mexico, and another one whose priest abused him when he was a kid. Let me ask you a question. Where are you going to start? You ever go to the amusement park where those little moles come up and you go, boo, 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 boo? Where are you going to start? You know, when Chuck Zander and the Zander family originally went to Romania to visit the field over there, the walls of communism had just fallen. I mean, the dust from the rubble was still billowing in the air. And I've seen the videos. I've seen Jerry Sutek's presentation. And some of you seen the Zanders. And they went up into those villages. And they went even further up into those gypsy villages. And they play, and those people came out begging for tracts and begging for Bibles. And what broke their hearts is, come back and teach us the Bible. And those guys came back. And they loaded their wagons, and they went on deputation. And by the time they got back, there was more cults and isms, the main one being the televisionism. I'm in a gypsy village that you wouldn't put your dog in. Your doghouse is better than what they're living in. I'm in a gypsy village with no running water, people with rags that they wear every day. You call this spring water? It's brown coming out of the thing. Their teeth are all, they're hungry, they're in rags. And I'm hearing an English voice. What's that noise? And I peeked into one of the, I don't know what you call them, shack, shanty. There's a satellite on the top of their shack. I'm thinking, no wonder this guy knows how to speak English. By the time, and you know, you were there. By the time they get over there, where's all the people begging for the gospel? Watching TV. See, the difference between him going in the bush is there's not a lot of Westernism isn't in there yet. But go talk to Doug where it's secularism. You know what you need in our day? We need wisdom. If we care? Or are we just going to let everyone go to hell? And let's go hide and fill our fat little stomachs. We don't care about sinners anymore. You know what Adam and Dan need over in Romania today? They need wisdom. Charlie has, and if you're visiting, we're talking about our missionaries that grew up in this church and sold everything they had, and they're trying to reach people through the Great Commission that Jesus, he's got Greek, Congolese, Afghanistans, and Iranian in his church. And if you think people that are divided here, if you think that these Christian people come to the church and, oh yeah, the gypsies couldn't stand the Romanians in Romania. We're not going to, and vice versa, we're not going to church with those smelly people. You know what Charlie needs if he's going to read? He needs wisdom. Listen, I don't know how to pray for the missionaries. Pray for wisdom. 15 short years ago, remember we used to go to the Memphis Music Fest? 50,000 kids, man. Take the gospel out on the street. Seemed like half of them were drunk Southern Baptists and the other half were drunk African Americans who had a grandmother that raised them in church. You say, how do you know? Because when I preach, I say, hey, girls, yeah, do me a favor, would you? What's that? Would you, when you get home tonight or tomorrow, would you tell your grandmother that her prayers were answered tonight? Because you ran into a preacher from New York and he told you the same thing. Come home, come home. I've had him in tears, brother. We need wisdom. You got an evolutionist here, a transgender here, an atheist here, a Catholic here, a backslid Baptist here. Where are we going to start? And I've been waiting. Sorry, Richie. I've been waiting for visitors not to be here so I can make an announcement. But if I ever see a visitor standing alone again, because we don't get them much, and I understand. I like being with my friends and talking. I see a visitor standing alone. Listen, now you're accountable because they're going to think I'm standing here alone, and she's yakking with her. Look. You got to look. We don't have the dancing girls and the ripped jeans and the croc bands and the rap bands. We got to reach them with the love of Jesus Christ. I said, if I ever see it again, but I didn't finish, so that means I'm open to anything I want. Let me hit closer to home. You know, we need wisdom more than ever more, Jason. Parents. Parents. When we started, we didn't have, our kids were too little. We didn't have girls in universities. We didn't have young men in the military. And if they were in the university, in the military, they knew that it was either a man or a woman up there teaching them. You're going to raise your kids in this environment? I thank God mine's almost done. But I know I got 19 grandkids. Or coming. And some of you are going to say, 19? Who now, huh? We'll grow the thing one way or another. Oh, you need wisdom, parents. And he said, pray for wisdom toward them that are without. Some of you got waywards. You know what you need? You need wisdom. I'm not going to turn to the verse. I'm running out of time here. Ecclesiastes said, and don't bring up no songs, Gary, but there's a time to be born, there's a time to die, there's a time to plant, there's a time to pluck up. There's a time to speak, and there's a time to refrain from speaking. And you know what? You're going to need wisdom if you're going to draw, or God's going to use you to bring that wayward one back, when to shut up and when to not shut up. We love out of balance. Because you know why? We don't want to walk with God. We want to have it all figured out. I'll tell them. I don't want to say nothing. I'll just follow them wherever they go, right to the hell hole. Help us, Lord. We need wisdom. Some of you seeking a spouse. I know you're praying about which one. And you're praying about God provide. You know what you better pray if that which one happens across your path? Wisdom. Especially if you're looking outside the tribe. Because you know why. Where do I start? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I am not going to die in this thing content with nothing happening. Now, I don't have it like Adam Thompson had it. If I don't see souls saved, I'm going to die. And he works it, brother. He works it. Let's not be content. Well, I hit all the guys up at work. Well, guess what I'm going to need the second time around? Wisdom. I got no choice. Some of you single parents, I'm going to tell you what you need. You need wisdom. It's the principal thing. Get wisdom. And I'll tell you where you get it. You get it from that book, and you get it being filled with God, because Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Here's the good news. I know it's a little depressing, but here's the good news. God answered that prayer in the life of Paul. You think we got it bad? The people today all over the world, they see a cross. They know what's a little bit kind of behind that. These people where he went know nothing. He comes into the big shot meeting, all the pastors and the leaders of the church in there in Jerusalem, and you're talking about a guy that got converted as a Pharisee. You think he was on the blacklist? And you know what it said? He said, "You see how many thousands of Jews there are that are saved." Whew. He led thousands of Jews through his ministry. And I'll tell you, if Jews can get saved, everything on those lists that can get saved. But you know what? If you follow his prayers, pray for wisdom. Lord, give that church wisdom. Hey, when you pray for me, pray for I have wisdom. And it didn't end there. I mean, the Jews would make Italians look humble. And if you don't believe that, try to witness to them. And then the Greeks, they would really make the Italians look humble. Sorry, Tina. And he goes into Corinth, and he goes to Mars Hill where these people are worshiping false gods. And he gets in there, and you know what he says? "The Bible says thou shalt not bear false witness. The Bible says thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is heaven, earth, under the earth." No, he said, "Hey, guys, you know what one of your poets said?" One person told me one time, "When you preach outside, I can understand you. I don't have to scream from here to there." "Hey, you know what one of your poet said? Let me tell you about this unknown God." You know what that is? That's wisdom. You're not going to reach Frank the way you're going to reach Susie, and you're not going to reach Betty the way you're going to reach this one over here. You need wisdom. You need to be walking circumspectly. You need to be in prayer. You need to get there before the day starts and say, "Lord, pray for an open door and an open mouth. What is it that's going to help me reach this world?" You young people venturing into the secular world, God help you. Pray for wisdom. Get a lot of God. You know what Paul did? He got the job done. Let's stand.